So the reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Amen.
Thank you. So we've seen a video clip of the story. We've heard the story read. Now we're going to give you the options. Remind you again, there is a quiet reflection space out in the lobby, and there are some things there to help you reflect on the passage and how you respond to Jesus' invitation to come and have breakfast. There is a craft option out in the hall with Megan and hopefully others that will let you make coconut ice, and it will be explained why coconut ice fits in with what we're doing. And then the third option is, if you want to stay in here, we're going to reflect on the Bible passage for a while. Then we're all going to come back together and share communion together as church family. So make a choice and make a move. Take a couple of minutes to do that, and off you go if you're going to one or the other. You stay in there? Yeah? Going to stay and play? Sorry, Dad. Okay. Just going to spend a little bit of time thinking about what this story might tell us. There are lots of things. We could have gone on to the conversation between Jesus and Peter about feed my lambs, feed my sheep. We could have done stuff about Jesus commissioning and forgiving Peter for his denial. We could have worked around all of that. But I want to think about Jesus' actions in this passage and what we get from it. And three really quite simple things. The first is that Jesus welcomes. The second is that Jesus invites, which is not the same thing. And third is that Jesus hosts. And I want us to think about what it is when we are invited both to be guests and at other times to be hosts, and how we respond to those things. Just to remind us that at the start of this passage, the disciples had been hiding away. They denied Jesus. Peter had denied Jesus. Many of them had run away before the crucifixion. They'd hidden in the upper room. It was not the greatest example of following Jesus. And Peter, because it's always Peter, says, well, I'm going fishing. And the disciples think, well, if Peter said he's going fishing, then we'll do the same thing. Some of them had been fishermen. Some of them had never been fishermen. They were tax collectors and terrorists. And so perhaps in a sense it's not surprising that they didn't do very much successful fishing at night. But one of the things that we need to remember in that is that Jesus had called them from fishing. They were no longer supposed to be people who fished. They were to fish for other people. They were to share the good news. But Jesus had called them away from where they had been into a new experience of following. And they lived with him for 3 years, and they had listened, they'd watched, they'd done some work experience on healing and speaking and standing up against evil spirits. So they'd had some practical experience at what Jesus did. They'd lived alongside him. They'd heard him speak. And then they'd heard him explain to them the things that puzzled other people. So they had become different people in those 3 years. So it wasn't a surprise when Peter said, I'll go fishing, that it didn't really work. And we do know from the early parts of the Gospels that they had been quite successful as fishermen, sort of small businesses, because they had more than one boat and they worked alongside each other. It was a family business, but it was a reasonably successful one. So they'd gone off and they'd tried their own thing and it hadn't worked. And then we have the little episode with Jesus on the beach, telling them they hadn't caught anything, and then the to-ing and fro-ing, and we could spend a lot of time thinking, I wonder what Peter thought being told by somebody else that he wasn't very good at fishing and how to get it right. We won't go there. When they come back to land, the thing that Jesus says to them is not, where have you been? What did you do? What made you think that would work? How stupid to go off and try fishing. He simply said, come and have breakfast. The invitation was not to a telling off. The invitation was actually to sit alongside Jesus and be fed, literally fed. I usually trot out this one, which was that what Peter got was a barbecue and not a roasting at this point. I know, sorry. I'm not inspired after the rugby yesterday. I've got to, hold on to old jokes. But Jesus invited them. And in that invitation, he showed them something really significant that applies to us. Is that the first thing that happened as he welcomes them on shore is that they have now got somewhere familiar to go back. Or in fact, someone familiar to go back to. The welcome is not simply back to shore. The welcome is not simply back to somebody they've listened to, but the welcome is to be alongside Jesus. They are welcomed into a presence that many of them may have thought in their own hearts and minds, we'll never experience that again. And we've let him down, so he won't want anything to do with us. So the welcome is first and foremost a call to come where Jesus is and sit. They had walked away from their call, from their place at Jesus' side, but he had not walked away from them. And they were beginning to learn that in this encounter. The second thing that when Jesus welcomes them, they discover is that they know they are welcome. Jesus could have stood on the shore side and had that conversation. You've probably not caught anything. No, well, do it properly and you will. And then they come back to the beach and Jesus says, there, see? But he says, come and have breakfast. Come and be with me. I'm not holding grudges about what you've done and where you've been. I just want you where I am. And what better way than breakfast? After a long, cold night with no success, than to say, how do we start the day together? Let's eat. Let's be a community and share this food. And along with that, some kind of sustenance, refreshment after all they'd done. They had labored hard, we hear in that reading. And without any success, they must have felt really quite flat about what had gone on. And yet Jesus invites them to be with him, to sit with him, to be welcomed, to have breakfast, and to know that the practical business of being hungry and tired was being cared for. Any of us who have had children or grandchildren know that if you want to work with them, the worst time is when they're either hungry or tired or both. And you get no response that is helpful. And in this, Jesus says, in effect, I know how I'm going to begin this. I'm going to begin this by caring for you. Then we can have a conversation. But know that you're welcome. Know that you are alongside the one who cares for you. And know that I can do these practical things. Let's have breakfast. So Jesus welcomes. Then Jesus invites. They are different, and we've been going through a process here in the church of trying to understand what hospitality really is. And an invitation can be a piece of paper or a poster outside that says, you're welcome, come and join us. But a real invitation is one that says, I want you to be where I am. I want you to enjoy what I'm enjoying. And when you come and take part in that, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to sit with you. I'm going to share what you're sharing. And I'm going to find a way of building a relationship by really welcoming you rather than just issuing an invitation. And Jesus' invitation is prepared. So the invitation involves Jesus, before the disciples are ready, lighting a fire. When they come out of the boat, there is already bread ready and there is fish cooking. So he wasn't dependent on their catch. Jesus had created the place where these people could be invited to sit with him. It's like if you invite someone to a meal at your house, you don't sit there and say, oh, well, the plates are a bit grubby, but that's all right. Nobody will notice. Or I can't match up my crockery or my cutlery, but it's only them. You say, actually, if I'm going to have somebody for a meal, if I'm going to invite people in, I'll make sure the tablecloth is clean. I'll make sure the table's laid well. I'll make sure that I take time over what I serve because I want these people to feel that I value them being where I am. So there wasn't a tablecloth and there weren't flowers and all of that stuff, but there was a welcome created to invite them to sit and enjoy. You also try to get the timing right. Jesus didn't say to them as they got off the boat and up the beach, oh, just hang on a minute, I haven't quite lit the fire. Just go and amuse yourself. It was ready and waiting. And the invitation was to be with Jesus at the place where there was food, where there was rest, where there was welcome. Just imagine, it's almost like the story of Jesus being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Imagine how you would feel to finish a hard night's work and come up the beach and smell the bread and smell the fish and know that somebody had gone to all that trouble for you, which is what Jesus had done for the disciples. So he welcomed them, but his invitation was an invitation with depth and love, that they would feel a part of what was going on. And Jesus becomes the host. It's the third part of what I wanted to share. And it wasn't the first time. Jesus, in John 12, the story of the Last Supper, in many ways, he was their leader. But he got down on his knees and he washed their feet and said, part of being with me here is that I care for you and I welcome you into this space so that you can understand what welcome, invitation, and hosting are really like. In John 15, the passage that has, I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus says, you are my friends. So the invitation to the disciples on the beach is not issued to people who just happen to be there. It is issued deliberately by Jesus to his friends, that they would come and sit and enjoy breakfast with him. And then in this passage, that phrase we've used as our kind of title for today, come and have breakfast. Come and be a part of all that I offer here. I wonder how you feel about that. I wonder if you are somebody who says, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know the kind of things I've thought and said, even sometimes maybe about people in this space. I don't think I would be included. Jesus included the people who had left him to die. There is no point in our journey where Jesus says, I've had enough of you. Jesus is always the host, always inviting us to share with him. There's a phrase that we use in the Methodist Church that is a really rich phrase. We call it prevenient grace. That is, God goes ahead of us offering grace before we've got our lives in a place where it's right and straight and sorted. This example on the beach is an example of prevenient grace. Before the disciples have finished failing at fishing, Jesus has lit a fire, has baked some bread, has cooked some fish, has prepared a place where they can come and sit and be with Jesus. And God does that for us in all sorts of different, interesting ways, ways that kind of challenge our cynicism, challenge us when we think we know how this faith stuff works. I had an example just this week. Andrew's been home with us from Amsterdam since last weekend, and he's disappearing off tonight. But the travel here was really messed up. The flights were all to pot. He ended up, we thought, having to go to Gatwick, and then that was delayed. In the end, it never took off till 9:30 from Amsterdam, so he'd have got into Gatwick and then had to try and get a train across the south coast at a point where the storms and the engineering works were not working. And we said, we can't do that. We said, fly to Southampton. He said, no, well, the flight's £100, just one way. And we thought, actually, we want him here. Want him here for his children and for us. So I said, look, I'll pay the £100 for you to fly over. And he said, no, no, no. I said, yeah, let's do it. So he came and he flew in and we picked him up. And it's been great. We've had him here for these days. The next day, I received copyright payments for my hymns of £99.68. So it actually cost me 32p to bring Andrew over. And we may well have been able to stand the £100, but actually it's a way of God saying, see, I've prepared even before you commit. And that's what's happening on the beach. What are the consequences? The consequences are the disciples, including Peter, end up going and moving on and sharing the good news. They become empowered by the Holy Spirit. The church is born, and we move into that period where that good news is being shared by those who had been welcomed on the beach after failing at doing what they used to do for a business. God goes ahead in order to welcome us in. But the invitation is to more than a meal. The invitation is to remember who they are and what God has called them to do. And that invitation is extended to us. Shortly, when we gather back together, we are going to share communion. We haven't got fish, but we've got bread. And we remember that in that act of breaking and sharing with each other, we are welcomed and invited to be a part of what God is doing. And Jesus is our host for this meal. It's not our meal. It's God's meal in Jesus Christ. And so I want to invite you at the point where we come to share together to recall the fact that you are invited. And no matter what you've done, where you've been, how you've lived, this invitation is for you. And if you get to the point that having received communion, you would like somebody to pray for you, then just come to the front and we'll pray quietly. We won't declare it to the church. But if that feels important to you this morning, when we've brought you the bread and the wine, we'll just allow a space and invite you, if you want to come, to come. And if nobody comes, that's great. But if one or two come, we will just pray quietly. The invitation is yours because Jesus values who you are and invites you to share, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter who you are. Amen.